Hey guys, what's up? This is DarkTemp66, aka Joe. Just want to say this is going to be episode 2 of our Way of the Witcher. We're actually going to need 3 episodes to cover all these cards. And these cards, this is good stuff. We'll talk a little bit more in the episode about how we really feel like these cards are really extending the meta out. I think a lot of things are going to change with the game. I think this is something that was really needed. I was getting kind of exhausted with the decks I was seeing. It was just kind of the same stuff every day. Also, I promise I only had like 2 or 3 drinks before this episode, but somehow I stopped the recording the first 30 seconds into the episode and then had to re-record. So you're going to be brought into an episode where we're continuously talking about something. It looks like we just missed one card that was a neutral. So we'll figure out what card that is and revisit it on our next episode. But we'll go right into the first card with monsters. And guys, please remember, support your streamers, support your teams. If you want to become a sponsor, you can go to anchor.fm, look us up, and you can sponsor us that way. If you just want to listen, we appreciate that as well. Just make sure you hit the subscribe button in your podcast engine of choice. It helps us get more publicity out there, bring the podcast a little bit larger as it continues to grow. And then also, it will, you know, when a new episode's live. And I want to take a special moment just to thank you guys for all the support you've given us. I know 2020 is coming to a wrap. It could not come to a wrap any sooner. But I just got a message from Spotify that let us know that we were live in 13 different countries this year. That's really cool. I mean, you think of something so small in the beginning, and sometimes you get totally burned out when you don't see it turn into what you want it right away. And that message is just a reminder that just keep going, just keep pushing. 13 different countries we were listened to. That is awesome. We hope you guys want to become a part of it as well. If you want to, head over to the barkeepsaredania.com or hit up one of your streamers and let them know, hey man, get me in on the action. But without further ado, episode 2 of the Way of the Witcher card reveals.
An act of adrenaline.
Yeah, so it's an act of adrenaline, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so that's pretty good. We go on to first monster card as well that we haven't talked about, hybrid, which is a beast mutant, right? So whenever you consume one or more units, boost self by one. That could be pretty
kind of sounds
good
like
in
a budget cheese roll if you think about it, but with the
exactly. Like, a lot of people were already saying, like, it wasn't going to play for that many points. Like, it's a good 4-point card, but no matter how many units you consume, let's say if you play a K-Rand or something like that, and you consume all those units, it's only going to go up by one.
Exactly.
Or, like, a Glusty or something. Like, if you played Glusty and you consume all the drones or insectoids, then it only goes up by one still. So, I mean, it's a slow 1-point engine, I guess, as long as you're consuming consistently.
Yeah, if you're playing it with Haunt and you're using the consume factor, I mean, that can get pretty powerful, I would think, over time for a 4-point provision. I mean, it's not, you know...
Yeah, that's easy. I think getting 3 consumes out of that, getting a 7 for 4 is pretty... with especially with Haunt, is super easy to do.
Yeah, it allows you to play non-devotion and not have to worry about like the extra value from, let's say, the Conqueror or something like that, right? Because it'll get its value if you can keep it out there. And I don't think people are going to target this specifically if you have other engines and stuff going, so.
And you can easily, like with an Overwhelming Hunger deck, especially with them using leader and then like haunt charges after all, like people can easily like maybe not remove this thinking it won't be too many points, but then later in like a round three with three leader charges from Overwhelming Hunger and all the consumes from haunt, it could actually get a pretty decent size.
But with this being a four power, think about that. If an Andrega Larva come on the field and then this comes on the field, you know you're still going after the Andrega Larva.
Yeah, I mean you're always gonna take the larvas out. We all like I today I was playing a gurney game, and I had Perfect Thrive set up for the entire round, and I managed to play off four or well, both copies of my larva had all four stick, and they all played for 9 points of Thrive each. Like that was, you know, that's nuts. You know, it's 36 points right there off of just the larvas. I think I ended up hitting like almost like 110, something like that.
Wow.
Still the best card, the best 5P card in the game.
Yeah, like
Not that it
it's
doesn't look like
crazy.
anything on this expansion will change that either.
Especially with, like I said, getting to the big boy of the MO who just got revealed this week as well. Cannot wait to use him.
Yeah, so going, I think we've already talked about spontaneous evolution, and it made me think of it with is it Chimera. Deploy, consume an allied unit with Adrenaline 4, boosts all copies of consumed unit and that unit's row by one. So let's say you're playing drones down, right? You use spontaneous evolution to spawn three drones to get that board filled up, then you consume an allied unit and then boost all copies
Oh,
of
jeez.
that specific consumed unit by one. So you could be talking pretty powerful card, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then,
I could see the
that's
Chimera fitting into a beast deck. Like, you know
yeah.
how right now they have, like, the rats decks? This could be, like, a budget version of a Roboost for that, too.
See, what I'm curious about is like if you're playing it for 1 point and then you're boosting all the others, it continuously activates every turn. So like let's just say if you this is something you
No,
definitely would not.
it only activates one time.
No, because adrenaline.
It's a
Yeah,
deploy.
but the adrenaline is a part of the deploy. So remember, we were talking about that last time because they didn't explain what exactly it did. And then, was it Pajabal came on today and explained it, and it just procs when it's deployed. So
Oh, okay.
the
So it
point
doesn't
of.
do it every turn below four.
Yeah, the point of adrenaline, from what they were saying, is to kind of help control how powerful cards are because you have to play it at certain times in the round. So if you have, like, let's say a deploy with an adrenaline, you just can't play it as, you know, let's say the very last card. It's like as a last say. It's almost removing some last says. So I'm wondering what they're going to do in terms of reworking that into, like, existing deploy cards that are maybe super powerful. I wonder if they're going to start throwing adrenaline on there, or that's going to kind of be how they help level the playing field with some deploy cards.
Do you think the game is more predictable? Like, let's say like the new meta, because there will be a new meta, and like a lot of these
Of
adrenaline
course, yeah.
cards start appearing. Like, eventually, won't you just be able to predict what card is going to be played next, unless you get like the occasional wild card with like Yurden or something? But like you can start to see like, oh, he has four cards, he's probably going to play this. Like, I don't know if there's just not as much adrenaline cards yet, but like later in maybe another expansion, it could start to get a little predictable. I'm not sure.
It could be predictable, but then you're almost forcing the opponent to hold on to some of their answer cards for, let's say they're going to wait till round four, or sorry, round four, turn four to play, let's say, an Adrenaline six. All right. But then you need to be holding possibly that card for another answer. So I think it gets predictable, but at the same time, the cards that you would have expected to come out already now are going to have answers to it. So it'll be interesting to see if the game becomes more predictable. I think, like I said, the point of this was to make deploy cards more manageable in how powerful they can be in a specific round, which I think is a really good idea, for sure. For sure. It's an eider. We didn't talk about that. The insectoid is an order with adrenaline 3, so that's interesting. So that can be used. Consume all tokens on this road and gain immunity. Immunity. Whenever you consume one or more units, spawn a drone in this row. God, that's going to be just crazy board fill.
Like, it's basically a better Arrakis Queen.
It feels like it's too valuable for 8 provision. Just almost based on the 7 power alone. You know what I mean? It's getting there.
Yeah, consume all tokens on this row again whenever you consume. Yeah, it's...
Yeah, the second half of that, it's not needed for 8 provision. I think this plays for like a 9 or 10.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Like I say, it literally, yeah, like, I mean, it is needed an Adrenaline 3, so it's going to be a late card that you play. But yeah, it's basically the Arrakis Queen without having to worry about the armor condition of having to... lose it to spawn a drone.
Well, to get the best value out of it, you're going to have to play it as early as possible, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a lot of these cards, they depend on long rounds, right?
Yeah.
So I feel like we're going to see a gameplay where we're pushing people into that shorter round 3, making a lot of these cards kind of worthless, or not getting the full value, right?
It's just all of these cards, and it's interesting, because if you look at all the monster cards so far... it is about spawning drones. Like, holy shit. Like, look at the next card, which I sent to Ezra when I was on Thanksgiving vacation, and he told me that card's fake. It's not real.
I thought it was. I was like, bro, there's no way that's a real card. You're kidding me.
Who wants to talk about the next card? You know what I'm talking about?
So I saw this card, like I said, through Dark, and then... I think it was Trinet, and it was also Pieable who explained how this card is going to work. It's basically like it is going to...
What the hell, man?
Spawn a drone whenever its Thrive is triggered. So it's shooting out a drone, and then when the Adrenaline 4 kicks in, and it's every turn, or not every turn, but every time its Thrive is triggered, as long as the Adrenaline 4 condition is met, it's spawning an Indraga larva. So it's only spawning a one larva. It's not spawning both copies, so you're okay with that, but... As long as you're meeting the condition every turn and continuously playing Thrive off of combos, this card can play for a potential 31 points in just 3 turns. As well as a Thrive that's being triggered from the larvas.
You're about to see every monster's deck include Bone Talisman. Just to boost everything. Like, that's gonna... Bone Talisman and 2 Anatris Marigold.
Like, try an Ocean Mud and Pieable. We're just explaining this card is retarded. Like, why would they put something in this game? I mean, the larvas play for enough points as it is. Now we have something that's going to be spitting them out like nothing.
But here's the problem, though. Like, you have to put this card down first, and then you have to proc Thrive on it, right? And so then it starts to basically spit out the larvas. The issue is that then you have to bring the larvas up, right? While continuing to proc Thrive on the Kashi. So how tall can you go is what I'm trying to say. If this is a 4, and you have to play 5, 6, 7, 8 every time higher, you know...
Well, as long as you have Gurney. I mean, Gurney cards are going to play for a ton. You have the Conquerors, you have Goliath, you got, you know, the Ghouls. Like, there's plenty of cards that are going to trigger this.
Yeah, so it'll fit in a deck like that, perhaps, but maybe not, like, your Death Wish list or your Beast list. Like,
It'll fill up your rows, I would think.
And just,
I think you make a good point. It's going to have to be a larger body cards, you know.
And they're all thriving at different rates, too. So that you're not getting, like, crazy big larva, but you might get a bunch of threes out there kind of thing.
And then we're talking about Vi, I believe. That's is that how you pronounce it? This is basically the better Yggdrasil.
I love it. So shuffle it back into your deck and increase its base power by 3. Like, what? So what would we use to pull that back out of the deck?
Whispering Hillcock.
What is it, Bone?
The Whispering Hillcock.
Okay.
That summons a Death Wish. It's the card that summons a Death Wish unit from your deck. So basically, and Oniromancy would grab it. Plus, Royal Decree would probably get it as well.
Double Cross, and then you also have Caranthyr to make 2 of them.
Actually, Amata could pull it too.
But hey, heat wave ain't going anywhere though. Look, I mean, you heat wave that as soon as you see it.
Yeah, and you gotta remember, if you can't get a consume out, that Death Wish isn't gonna activate. So let's say you play that, and then the opponent passes, you kind of just, not saying you wasted it, but
I mean, technically, if you look at it this way, what is it, Vi? If you play Kayran, or you know, if you use your leader charges, this card, it will pretty much carry your deck as long as you can keep getting rid of it at the moment it's played again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you gotta play it, consume it, and then have. I mean, I think that'd be so draw dependent. To get it in a good round where you can, you know, you can get a defender out to protect it from heat wave, then consume it, then, you know, Hillcock it, consume it, decree it, consume it, Oniromancy it. I mean, that's
what
I think. So go ahead.
No, you're good. Go.
Okay, I was gonna say the way I'd probably run it is with OH, consume it on the same turn, maybe during a bleed second round, and then get it back in hand or deck for round three, right? Because it's just on consume. There's no order. So you could literally just use the leader charge on it or something like that if you had to.
Exactly.
So,
yeah. Like,
but it would also proc Haunt, right? So
who was? I believe it was. I think it was Gravesh. Gravesh was saying that this card is perfect in a short round. When Trinet was looking at this card, it was basically you're keeping it. You know, you're boosting it up by three. You're drawing it back out again with all your draw cards, and then. What's good about this is that it's also never going to fall in range of Geralt Professional if you run into the PS list as well.
So Eviction Notice.
Yeah, that's a good
one. Yeah, was bringing up Caranther with, was it Cachet, right? Yeah. Well, hold on a second. Could you Caranther Vi?
Yeah, I was thinking that.
Double you back into the deck.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
Man. Had both of them running. Yep.
Imagine round three, one in pocket, one with Oniro. Just boom, boom. Just point slams.
Yeah, that's...
And then the Andrega Warrior that can consume them both on one drop.
I think people are going to hate monsters. Like, if they don't already.
Oh, I'm going to like it.
So I think we're Prox Thrive. So Caranther Prox Thrive on the play turn if you use them as a Thrive card. That too.
Yeah, I think so wouldn't it proc as well, just like how Kiki does it as well? Wouldn't that trigger Cochet right away on the Adrenaline 4 if you play Caranther with it?
Yeah.
Because if it works the same way that Kiki does, Kiki always gets that Thrive the moment she's played again, or the moment she's spawned from it.
So we're starting to get also, I think, a better or clearer picture of where Nilfgaard's going. So we're talking about the Viper Witcher, right? So deploy, giving bleeding 2 to an enemy unit, Adrenaline 6, spawn a copy of that unit at the top of opponent's deck.
So this one's blowing up. Like the part. This is Discord was going nuts about this card because I don't think they worded it very well.
Why do you say that?
Well, okay. If your opponent doesn't kill it, okay? So if your opponent kills it, it goes in your graveyard, eats all of your cards, and then if it runs out of cards to consume, it goes onto your opponent's row, okay? If you play it and it lives, and then after the round's over, it goes in the graveyard, and it starts eating from lowest provisions all the way up, once it's consumed your opponent's graveyard, then it pops back on your row. It doesn't sound like that in the text. But there was all kind of, Discord was just going nuts about this all day, and they finally like cleared it up. That's what it does.
Wait, I don't get that. That doesn't make any sense.
So, I think we're talking about Viper Witcher. The Viper was a little
The Viper, right? Oh, the Viper Witcher. Oh,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I was like, what's that have to do with tube bleeding?
The Viper.
Yeah.
No, you're fine.
I was like, what's going on? Yes.
Yeah, I mean, so Viper Witcher is basically, you know, like, it's just that whole, in a sense, control, I guess. You're controlling your opponent's deck. I feel like that's what they're trying to go for. NG has always been known as the control faction. So spawning a copy of that unit at the top of their deck, it's basically the same thing as Coded Weapons, except it's not banishing the first copy.
Yeah, but it's also increasing the card count in your opponent's deck, which also can play in the Viper Witcher adept because you'll get boosted off by one if a opponent has more cards in the deck than you.
Exactly, yeah. Like, so it's all about
little
basically re... What's the word I'm looking for? Rejuvenating, I guess, your opponent's deck, you know, in a sense. You know, not to be beneficial for them, but to be beneficial for you. Because you're forcing them to basically just keep drawing the cards they may not need.
Exactly.
Yeah, you could play this with
the opposite of the mill now.
I was gonna
it's almost like I would say anti-mill, in a sense.
I think it's going to be worse. Like, for us as opponents, you know?
Yeah, you could play this with Operator and get another one on the enemy's, like, ranged or melee row, and then just have Duchess Informants and just keep making copies of, like, like a shitty bronze card.
Yeah.
And they just have to keep drawing them, and they, like, you could totally, like, really screw with the opponent here.
It's basically a better Infiltrator. While giving bleeding as well.
And that goes right into Viper Witcher Mentor that deploys that power of this card to match the provision cost of the top card in your opponent's deck. And then if you're not using that, if you have Adrenaline 2, you can set power to this card to match the provision cost of the highest cost card in your opponent's deck instead. So imagine playing this at the end of, like, maybe I'm wrong, right? Playing this at the end of round one, and they don't, and they still have, let's say...
Oh, Nero would probably be Nero the best Manassi, target.
Their scenario card, their Karathi, they're just huge provision card cost cards that they just haven't drawn yet.
Yeah, like I said, this guy could really be good in a very good... Honestly, he'd be really good in a short round, because, you know, if you think about it, the most he could play for is, what, 14 for 6? If you're in a short round and they don't draw what they need, if it's still in their deck, you know... Unless they have Masquerade Ball, which seems to happen quite a bit often in mirror matchups with NG. So you could have a 16 for 6, you know, if they don't draw their ball in the short round 3.
Was this a bronze card?
Could you not just win? It looks bronze to me.
Yeah, Jesus, it's a bronze.
Christ. How is that a bronze?
Yeah, could you not just use two of them and then you get like a solid 28 points?
Yeah, you could do that, yeah. It'd be a great short round.
Like,
how is that...
I mean, I feel like this is the card you operate. If you throw an Operator out, and then you're right, spy into it, and just...
I mean, hell, you could play a short, you know, the long first round and go into a short round two, and you'll have your Adrenaline proc, you know, with two, you know, three or four cards, and then you just play this to bleed them.
My God, how is that a bronze?
Maybe it's
I don't know, maybe. But it seems to be too good to be true. You know, it's like I said, I could see this card being the card that's going to bleed a ton of players out in a short round too.
Is this the olive branch being extended to us?
It could be right.
You're
in
getting
this
a
card
whole
right
bunch
here.
Of buffs. You're getting, your existing cards are getting like, I don't know what Slama say. He couldn't confirm it, but you're getting like 6 bronze buffs and like 4 gold buffs.
Nilfgaard's going to be on top again, and I don't want to admit that.
It doesn't need to be on top. It just needs to be leveled. I don't want any faction to be on top. Let's get that straight. But I mean, Nilfgaard needs its moment in the sun.
Oh, no pun intended. Yeah, it's been shunned upon for what, 3 seasons now? 4 seasons, I think. Definitely since what, Master Mirror came out, but you know, when they introduced the whole concept of spies, you know, it hasn't been decent since then.
Yeah. So who's got the next one? Is it Viper or Vipper?
I think.
Yeah. So
Viper.
Boner's got some stuff to say.
Yeah,
about this one.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Tell us about. No,
yeah, you had it down, bud.
Now explain it, because now I need to understand the card.
Well, okay. I almost want to ask how you guys think it sounds, because it says, at the end of your round, put this card in the opponent's graveyard. At the end of your turn, while in graveyard, banish the lowest cost card from it. Okay. Each card's by the lowest provision. So technically, like a Lamp Djinn is a 0 provision card. It would eat that first and then work its way up, right? If the Viper is the only card in the graveyard, give it Doom, then summon it to your opponent's random row, okay? Well, if it's in... Okay, this is where it confuses people, because when you think about it in your opponent's random row, people think, okay, well... That's my opponent. Well, technically, no. When it at the end of the round, it went into your opponent's round. So technically, now it's in the opponent's graveyard, and you're your opponent's opponent. I know that sounds weird, but that's what it's saying. Because now
yeah, they,
the,
I think, What they clarified was, like, it's going to come back to your side of the field.
Yes. If it survives, now it has to survive the round for that to happen. If it's eliminated, if it dies, so it only goes to your opponent's graveyard on round end. So if it dies, it goes into your graveyard and starts eating your cards. And if it finishes your cards up, then it goes on to your opponent's side. So the Viper can work against you.
So it's got to be a last say, and it's probably going to be fantastic against a Lippy deck.
Well, now think about that, though. Okay, so think about this. Here's your ideal situation would be you would have to play, hopefully, a medium round one. Not too long, maybe a three or four or five. I hope they don't have Lamp Gin. Hope maybe like a five-card round one, and then you'd have to bleed. Because if you went to a round three, there's no way the Viper's going to eat through a ton of cards. I mean, it's only going to be able to eat through a couple cards. So you'd have to play it to see value of it to be able to finish up your opponent's graveyard and in time for it to see value back onto your row. You know, that's you're going to assume it's going to have to eat three or four cards.
Does this come into your row? I know it doesn't really say, but does it come into your row at turn beginning or turn end? Like,
only card in your graveyard.
So I'm assuming that's a great point. That's actually a really good question. I'm not 100% sure. I would say this. Probably at the beginning of every or when it goes to eat the provision card. So I'd say like the beginning of your opponent's turn. Say that's when it eats. So my guess would be at the beginning of your opponent's turn. It does not recognize itself. So it would be like, hey, there's nothing I can consume onto your round. So that's the one thing that's a really good question is it the end of your opponent's turn? Is it the beginning of the opponent's turn? Could an opponent specifically, like, you know, pull a Paja Ball and kill his own unit to throw it in the graveyard to prevent it from coming back out if he's got a one or a two? You know, like a monster. Hey, you start consuming your own tokens that start consuming low, not doomed enemies, but low value enemies to keep feeding it in your graveyard so it doesn't pop back out or something like that.
Yeah, I was just looking at it like, say we have like maybe a short round one and I play this card and then the opponent dry passes round two for some reason. Does it pop out again if there's no units in his graveyard? Like, I'm not sure, because I passed, it would appear. I don't think it would appear back on my row. But again, like the wording on this one is like a little. I feel like they should have maybe worded it a little bit better, because there is a lot of confusion about it.
There was like a mile long listing in Discord to finally get it sorted out, and because it's the fact that they said summon to your opponent's row. Well, technically, since it's in your opponent's row, you are your opponent's opponent. So that so the word opponents technically means you.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I guess I mean the best case scenario is we know it could have some synergy against countering Lippy, but I think the decks that it's really going to counter is SK Warriors. We know that their bronzes are the most powerful in the game when it comes to just the utility that they offer. So Viper could really destroy an SK Warriors deck, you know, because we know that they thrive now off of their cards being in the graveyard. And then also somebody else brought up a good point while I was watching this card get revealed earlier. Was it would be really good against the Blue Stripes deck as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Blue Stripes are super low cost cards. They're going to be most likely the lowest cost cards, not counting your Royal Guards or whatever. But, like, they'll start attacking the Blue Stripes. And then, you know, that pretty much shuts that entire deck down.
Actually, the thing about the Blue Stripes, though, is the Scout that copies them is a 4-provision card, and the Blue Stripe is a 5-provision card. And technically, if you're playing Blue Stripes, you're usually playing 2 Blue Stripes, and then you're actually probably copying one with, like, a Marching Orders. So technically, you know, it'd have to chew through 3 Scouts before it actually got to the Blue Stripes. I was thinking about that. I don't see it playing, and especially if you know that they've got Viper on the field, you're going to Pavetta and put him back into your even if you're not pulling him right away, you're going to get him right back into your deck ASAP. So it might eat one at the max.
And that's if it doesn't eat the baller, too.
Yeah. As I'm saying, as long as you kill kill it quickly, you know, or kill those quickly and then throw Viper in their graveyard. You know, it may kill, you know, one or two, whatever. It just depends. I mean, however you want to play. Like, this card's going to have some play. We know it's going to mess with a lot of cards or decks that rely on graveyard synergy.
But, I mean, it's interesting that it can punish the original player, you know.
Yeah, it is. And I think it's cool because we're adding a whole new play technique to Nilfgaard, in my opinion. Like, this is completely different, you know, what they're kind of going with.
Would you use this one with... You wouldn't use it in the same deck that you're putting cards in their deck because it would be too progressive, right? It would have to be... So, you pick one or the other?
This would work, I think, in a mill deck because when you're milling your opponent's cards, you're banishing them. It's not... not going to their graveyard.
Yeah, it's banishing.
So I think this works when a mill deck, when you're not putting... You're basically milling cards out of your opponent. Mm-hmm. So that if this, then you play this, maybe end of the round, you've milled them a whole bunch, and then this thing, you know, because how easy is it? I think it's to help a mill deck not get 2-0'd.
Yeah, that's the thing. It looks like it wouldn't be in the same deck as Colgrim, for example. You know, because they're doing two different things.
See, you know, I just thought of something just now. You could really just, you know, what's what I'm looking for? Mess with your opponent as well if you have an Asire. Like, Asire could see a play again because, you know, Asire has the melee ability where she returns a card back to your opponent's deck. So if you don't want this card in your graveyard, you can literally just return it either from your graveyard into your deck, basically make it like almost like a mini invo, I guess, and then turn it back onto them. Or, you know, you can put it back in their deck and just make it just useless.
Yeah, literally the only cards that can really, like, if you're facing this card that your opponent played, the only cards that can really counter it are Asire and Squirrel, and only one of those is available in every deck. At least off the top of my head, I don't think there are any other cards that can banish cards in your graveyard already. So,
I mean, Heatwave would take care of it on the field, of course.
I mean, there's always, like, Stunning Blow and then just, like, a random ping, you know?
Right.
It's not too powerful, so.
And the thing is, it's not like a Jurgen where, hey, oh, it's getting threatened, so let me consume it or something like that. Like, once it's on the field, you've got a couple turns to chip away at it, as long as it's not a last say type piece.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think it's time we can move on to the, honestly, what a lot of players are saying. Is probably the strongest card in this expansion so far, is Ivar Evil Eye. Yeah. This guy is going to be insane for Nilfgaard. On deploy, he swaps this unit's power, or swap his power with an enemy unit, so no matter what, you know, high cap that any opponent's card is going to get, this guy is just going to say, nope, that's mine, I'm going to take it for myself and give you mine.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's adrenaline too, so here's the interesting part we were talking about.
Well, here's the thing. You wouldn't want to play with Adrenaline 2. You would want to play it earlier than that because it's on deploy.
So again, it's taking the deploy mechanic and it's not making it as powerful as it could be. So you cannot play this as a close to final say. You know, because if you... Wait, hold on.
Yeah.
Adrenaline damage to me. You would have to play it as a final say, right?
No, so it would be...
You would want to avoid it, honestly. You would want to play this card.
Third to last card is when you got to play
this. Yeah. Third to last, maybe even fourth.
Because behind a defender,
you don't want the adrenaline. Yeah, you don't want to play the adrenaline mechanic on this card.
What's nice is if you have to, you can. Like in a short round three, at least it plays for 8.
So let's say you got a Hamadryad that's like 12 or 16, right? Mm-hmm. And you've got Heatwave in your hand, and that's going to be your last say. And this thing comes out and steals your Hamadryad's power, and then you Heatwave it. Well, great, that's, you did take care of the Heatwave, but it still took, you know, 12 points or 8 points off your Hamadryad, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I said, it doesn't have to play for an insanely high amount. Like, if it steals a Hama's power, that's going to be more than enough. We all know for a fact, if Hama sticks around for a long round, she's going to play for more than Gord.
It's a drain. It's a drain, essentially, at the end of the day. Because at the end of the day, like I said, you're right. If you play Regis and drain somebody, and then Regis gets answered, who cares? You've still reset that unit's power that it was boosted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
This is true. Everyone's going to run defenders, though.
Yeah, like this guy, Ivar, is going to see a lot of play in Simulate, against a Dagger deck. I mean, I don't know if people are still going to be running that.
Well, welcome come back to expansion. A wide meta, boys and girls.
Yeah. Like, this guy is going to be...
Thank you.
I honestly think he's going to see more play over Joaquin.
I'm running...
And Joaquin may take a seat, honestly. This guy plays for better than Joaquin will.
There you go. Some Werecat and Lacerates.
That's what I can say. That's all I can say is, like, this guy will play for way more than Joaquin ever will. Because sometimes Joaquin doesn't really help you out sometimes. You know, he'll pull something that you don't really want to pull out of your deck.
He'll pull a spy, and you end up giving the opponent, like, you 9 points.
Yeah. A 9-point informant.
So moving into Northern Realms, I don't think we talked about Target Practice, which adds a Warfare card
to the
group. Did you do that one?
Yeah, we had all of these except for
the last one.
Yeah,
no, we did. You're right. I'm sorry.
What date was your last podcast?
Last Tuesday.
Last Tuesday.
Yeah.
Which was what? The
Thanksgiving thing, or well, 24th.
Was the 24th. So yeah. Every card that's been revealed after the 24th, I'm just looking at Devil Driven. It starts with Eider. So there's been 1, 2, 3, 4. There's been a bunch of cards since the 24th.
Yeah. So after.
Yeah. So it's Ireland would be the only newest one, I believe.
I think for Northern Realms it was the only one.
Yeah, okay. For Northern Realms. So yeah, Ireland is basically, like a lot of people are saying, is he is the better all god for Northern Realms.
Boost all units in your deck by 1. Adrenaline 3. Also gain immunity. And the order is remove boost from all units in your deck. Then boost this unit by the same amount. What?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. We obviously know that the most you can have in your deck, well, not the most, the least amount of units you can have is 13. So right there, he's already, you know, a 17 for 12 if you choose to remove them all.
Well, that's playing him round 1 because I'm assuming when it says in your deck, nothing in the graveyard.
Yeah, exactly. That's if you have them all in.
So like, this would be a fantastic predatory dive.
It wouldn't get better than this. But the thing is, they still keep the boost.
Yeah,
every card in the deck will still keep the boost.
Yeah, like it's because he's either you play him as a way better all god, or you just play him.
They would keep the boost unless he did the order.
Yeah. So, like, another thing, too, what people are saying is he feeds into Cohen very well. You boost everything up by 1, and then, you know, as long as you have the, what's the other guy for, I think it was a neutral, right? Let's see.
The Cohen boosts all other units with power equal to Cohen's power by the amount of Cohen. God, this is freaking...
Yeah, Cohen, and then we have Isagoda, and then we also have, what do you call it? Vesemir Mentor. That's the other guy I was thinking of. So you would be boosting all the Witchers. If you're playing a Northern Realms Witcher deck, then Vesemir Mentor is going to play a lot of points as well.
My head's hurting from thinking about all these combos. But I like it. It's expanding, like we're saying, the meta. It's not the same going against the same deck and strategy every time. You know, there's so many different combos it seems that you can kind of put together with all this stuff.
100%, but if you were to force the opponent into, like, a shorter game, this wouldn't see its max value, especially when you remove the card before they can proc the order. You know what I mean? Let's say they play it round 1, you kill this card, then you just force them into a round 2 and try to two.
Well, here's
them. It might be too
the
progressive
benefit.
To roll out, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, like, here's the benefit. Like, Geralt Quinn, right there, he's your tutor. You're giving, if it's Adrenaline 3, you're giving all the cards shield. Or, I mean, not all the cards shield. You're pulling him from the deck, and you're also giving him a shield. So that could protect you.
Yeah, you can still put it in shield wall, for sure. You know, even if you didn't have that. It's just a matter of, you know, let's say it's a very progressive strategy, and it takes a while to get big and really count. if you just force them with big point swings. Imagine this against the Monsters deck that we were looking at earlier. They could swing it out so much quicker than this combination that this might not be crazy compared to some of the other stuff we see.
Yeah.
I mean, the power thing is that it can play wide, or then it can go tall and put him, you know, keep immunity.
Yeah.
So it's untouchable. It's not. It's really not. Doesn't look counterable.
Curse of Corruption comes back. Scorch.
Yeah, that's true. That's right. That's about the only thing that can.
That's right.
I believe Gaten something that was recently introduced, as of the 24th or no?
Who Gaten? Or,
yeah, Gaten. I don't know how you pronounce this. Move the other cards from this row to the other row. Damage a random enemy unit for each card moved. Yeah, I don't think you talked about him.
Do we remember which ones were our first Goyetzel?
I know we covered Brayhen and Cat Witcher.
Witcher Mentor's new. Cat Witcher's new.
Cat Witcher Mentor's new?
Yeah.
Yeah, both.
So boost self by the number of cards on this row, Adrenaline 4, whenever a card appears in this row, boost self by 1. Well, that could be fun with...
movement.
With the... Because it guess rests of Leda.
Oh, Ezra I'll has talk his about own that. Card now.
Yes, I do.
Gaceros of Leda.
Yes. So, a lot of people were talking about this card. This guy is basically a Great Oak on crack. for three turns, he's gonna do damage, to your opponent, I guess, on that row several times. Like it's kind of nutty. As long as their row is in full, then this guy's gonna play like a Great Oak on crack, is what everybody was saying.
I feel like with Scoia'tael and all these movement cards, Dryad Matron, and a lot of these, like the movement leader, I believe it's Gorilla Tactics, they're gonna see a lot more play. Just I feel like they're just trying to get the movement aspect in Scoia'tael to gain some traction here.
Yeah, because like, you can either choose to have, what, the damage and then the boost as well? Yeah, you could choose. If you want to put them on the melee, you get the boost, or if you get the damage.
I just want to know what it's going to look like. Everything's just going to be moving around. It must be difficult for the opponent to, like, really focus on what's going on if everything's moving every turn. You know what I mean? Dryads, you got leader charges, this thing going around, so...
Yeah, and that could really screw with, like, I'm thinking, like, a Nilfgaard, like, trying to play, like, Treason or Assassination. Like, it could really, like, mess them up and kind of have them lose tempo if everything's moving around on the board.
Yeah.
Ooh, you guys are still talking Gaten, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, no, we were talking about Gezerus. Gaten's pretty... Gaten is... I mean, we know he's a deploy and then just, you know, it's a one-time usage. So, I mean, that's pretty, you know...
Obviously, well, no, because Gaten is damage a random enemy unit for each card moved by 1. Oh, so that's only for the deploy.
Yeah. So it's a pretty simple effect. But the Gezerus, though, that's like I said, this is a card that's gonna see a lot of. Probably it's gonna be the card that they're gonna use. You know, third from Lasse, and then you know this is gonna be their. This is going to be their last say, but not really, if that makes sense. Because it's going to be the card that's going to matter the most. Like, I don't think we'll even see Great Oak anymore. We could see it, but, I mean, this would be a better Great Oak, in my opinion.
Yep. So moving into...
Got Skellige next.
Garbage. what cards have we not talked about there?
We already talked about
Let's just skip. Card. Let's just fucking.
It's looking like.
Oh, he's talking about Skellige. We're talking about my boy here. My boy, this guy is just introduced. Arnegon? Oh, I cannot wait to abuse this guy. This guy's going to be really fun to play with. Yeah, on deploy, gains 1 armor for every damaged unit. And then Adrenaline 4, when your opponent plays a unit, damage that unit by Arnegon's power and damage Arnegon by that unit's power. So, this guy. Is gonna either cancel all the damage with armor, or you could put him next to Sucris and just have a 7/7. It's nuts. 7 unit with 7 removal.
Wow.
I'm definitely going to be running a Secrets with this guy, for sure. I've never had to use Secrets before, but this guy is going to make Secrets that much more playable now.
Oh, big time. It's like a whole deck centered around that type of thing.
Have we covered all the mutagens?
No, they just, they came in a batch.
Yeah.
But we covered basically stolen mutagens, which was basically...
the same thing.
Pick one of these.
It's a tutor card.
Yeah, it's a tutor to the mutagen that it makes, because these are tokens, right? So it's spawning one off... spawning one off the actual stolen mutagens.
Yeah, you can't actually ever play the mutagens by themselves.
Yeah.
Can you guys see this little card description at the bottom? Roses are red, violets are blue. Yeah. I have a green mutagen for you.
I saw that, yeah.
That's funny. I like that.
And then playing the mutagens, like say you play stolen mutagen, it's going to proc your intimidate engines twice at least. So you got to factor that in too. Because both the tokens are crimes as well. I just noticed that.
Yeah, I'm wondering if it just counts as one and they're just explaining it in detail, or if it's actually double proc, because if it's actually double proc, that's really good.
I would think it's double, because you're activating stolen mutagens, which is a crime, and then you're also activating the effect off of the crime, which is a whole other crime.
Kind of gives you a reason to run the whole crime thing again, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
And you could run that twice too, it's a bronze card, so you could potentially, if... they set it up this way, you could have like four intimidate procs in like 2 turns.
I have an idea. Throw Triss back in there. Gord. It's coming to SY, baby.
Think about that. Gord's actually going to be in a syndicate deck.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it will.
Salamandra. Salamandra lackey?
There's some good crime decks with running Gord.
Yeah, but this one, man.
But this is going to give it more value.
It's going to be big Gord. I'm excited.
At the end of your turn, if you gained at least one coin this turn, boost self by one. Jesus.
Shout out to the best faction in the game.
I'm actually kind of excited for this syndicate. I think it's going to be pretty nuts.
The most slept on faction.
It's got that super scummy Nilfgaard feel to it that's getting me all warm inside.
Yeah, exactly. Well, if you look at the cards, like, what are Blind Eyes? What are, like, Fistech Traffickers? Come on, man.
That's true.
It's, like, on par with Nilfgaard.
I think it's maybe because I had to take, like, algebra, like, 3 times in college. So, like just having to add, I'm like, I'm good.
So, I mean, we know that Lackey's, you know, basically a one-point Vincy, in a sense. Or Townsfolk, whatever. But she's a Salamandra, though.
Which one's this one?
The Salamandra Lackey.
Oh, yeah, Salamandra Lackey, yeah.
Yeah, so she's basically like just the really small power or provision Bincy. Except, you know, she's only going to get, you know, 1 point per turn.
I love looking at the syndicate, too. I love the art. It's got the best art, I think, for this release.
Oh, yeah.
Especially the last card, which we'll talk about. And it's just...
Abomination's going to look amazing with premium. I honestly think I'll premium that pretty quickly.
I like to see Failed Experiment. Did we talk about Failed Experiment?
Yeah
we did. Okay.
I can't forget that.
I think we didn't talk about Gellert Blindharm. I don't think we talked about him, did we?
No, not that one. Just its counterpart there.
Yeah, Roland was the only one last time. Yeah, so Gellert is, you know, he's profit to feed poison an allied unit. So it's like it's feeding into that self-poison aspect. So you would probably feed this into Failed Experiment.
You just get so many coins if you play this with Roland Blenheim.
Oh, yeah.
Holy.
Yeah, they definitely look like a set to come together. And honestly, this whole thing with the Wretched Addicts are going to be good, too. Finally put some use to some existing cards already.
Salamandra Abomination is going to get, you know, play off of these guys, because it's going to be purifying itself with the Adrenaline 4.
I'm so excited.
You could be
poisoning Salamandra Abomination and purifying it. You could be poisoning Fallen Rayla if it has Veil. And just getting coins, like, just nonstop. Like, it just seems like...
Well, and also, too, Salamandra Abomination is... If you play Altobertus, you're constantly purifying it as well, so it's never really killing itself. And it says, whenever this unit is poisoned, boost... It doesn't say it has to have poison on itself for it to get boosted. Yeah.
I can just picture this deck. It's going to have, you know...
Self-poison is going to be pretty strong with these little bit of cards that they've revealed so far.
I feel like this could play well into Pirate's Cove, and I'll tell you why, because of the Sea Jekyll, right? you're getting all these cards to generate so much profit, and then you have Pirate's Cove to put out another Jackal. You could have crazy big Jackals going.
Yeah.
Because of the extra benefit from the boosts. So that'll be interesting. That or just a Crime deck overall.
Alright, so Fallen Rayla. I believe this is the card that Trinet was able to be revealed. Or is it Black? Has it been confirmed that this is the card that he got?
I don't know.
I think he was, because I'm pretty sure this is the card that he was able to reveal.
So, Profit 3, Tribute 3, Gain Veil, Adrenaline 3. Whenever you play a Tribute ability, boost self by that Tribute's cost.
Yeah, so, like, you would definitely want to play her with Tin Boy, with Savola, all those. Who else would you want to pay for Tribute?
Morils.
Yeah, Morils. Grodin too. I mean, he's a Tribute 5.
Mm-hmm. You could even find a... it would be kind of difficult to put this in cash. Because you're not really running as many trips these days. But I was just thinking about maybe the added value off like Adriano the Mink or something.
And then we know, like I said, there is another card that has not been shown or uploaded to the site yet. But we do know that Salamander is also another card that's been confirmed to be released. It's a 1-powered 9 provision card. Let's see, where was... I know it's basically pay tribute 9.
I have it pulled up if you want me to read the description. Yeah, so it's profit 1, and it's 1-powered 9 provisions. One. And deploy is poison a unit, so it could be your unit. And then tribute 9 is poison all units on the battlefield instead. Increase the profit by 1 for each allied Salamandra unit.
Yep. So like I said, this little guy is going to be playing for a ton. You obviously don't want to play Sianna with this guy. You want to, you know, just pay for it one time and it feeds into that whole self-poison for Syndicate. Because, you know, you're gaining coins. So you're definitely going to over-profit, though, if you have Roland on the field. When you play Salamander.
100%.
So, like, a lot of good cards, man. We got, what do you want to say, 15 more after this? Maybe more? No, actually, 15, 18.
Almost 14. 30. Yeah, 14. Almost 14.
30 more cards.
Okay.
Yeah, close to 25.
Oh, yeah, we still have a lot of neutrals. Yeah, I forgot about neutrals.
They're definitely saving, I would think, probably maybe not the best for last, but the cards that are going to help, you know, make all the other ones stronger. So,
like I said, I'm nervous to play against Nilfgaard with this Ivar guy. I don't ever want to put my units up high.
Yeah, it'll definitely be interesting. I think it's really going to, like Bohm was saying, it's going to really mess the meta up. Things are going to start to get a little crazy, you know?
Yeah, how I think we're still going to see a lot of tall removal. Like, I don't think... Like, I think playing, like, Heat Waves and Becker's Rock Slides and maybe even just playing old Geralt of Rivia, I think that's going to be the way to play it safe, when at least when we first start out over once this expansion is released.
Guaranteed, the moment the expansion drops, we're going to see Fuchsia Briefs come out with a deck that's going to feature Sianna and Ivar.
I love his deck. I love his decks, though.
Can you imagine double Ivar deploy? Oh, gosh.
Yeah, they're just nonsense. It's just amazing. You guys got anything before we wrap it up? Another pretty long episode. I think this might be just a couple minutes longer if we talk. You guys got anything else you want to throw out there?
I was just thinking, how much balance do you think it would be between like the new cards that are coming out and the old cards that we've been playing? Like, do you think that everybody's just going to kind of forget about things that are older than Master Mirror? Or do you think that people are going to still keep some of those healthy original cards in there?
It's going to be a good point. I mean, it's going to come down to how long it's played, right? Because I think you think about all those older cards, some of them like just are like staples, like, right, in every deck. And then you look at a lot of these cards, and as I look at these cards, I think about those old cards. I think more than I think about Master Mirror. But it'll be interesting to see. Yeah, I think this definitely opens up more decks, you know, not the same decks you see every time. So I'm excited about that. But yeah.
And I say this every time there's a new card released or new DLC. Can we just appreciate the art here on all these cards? Yeah, like I cannot believe like how creative they can get with some of this stuff. And they go, some of these cards, it's literally from like one paragraph in the book, and they decided to create all this lore about it. So I'm just really impressed with CDPR, and it helps keep me engaged in the game. So
yeah, if you didn't know, Gwent the Witcher card game is up for a Steam award, right, for best visual game. So you can actually go over to Steam and throw them a nomination for that, because I think that's definitely one of the best parts of the game for sure. All right, well, guys, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. Make sure you hit the subscribe button in your podcast engine of choice just to let you know when the newest episode is up. As always, Jay Conrad, Ezra, Qcento, Blackshirt Pony, they're all streamers. So please make sure you head over to their channels, check out their teams and all that great stuff. But guys, thank you so much for joining us. We'll talk to you later.
Yeah, thank you guys. We'll see you soon.